To start the show, I have a two-for-one idea for you. Two great shops, one great street. Like me, I'm sure you're looking for the perfect gift this holiday season. In fact, just the other day, I was on my way to a holiday birthday party and I was in need, but I knew where to go while shopping local. I knew I could find something special for everyone at my list at either City Bird or Nest, two neighboring boutiques on West Canfield Street in Detroit's Midtown. Unique, thoughtful, and local, these two spots have it all. City Bird offers a curated selection of jewelry, candles, home goods, and apparel by hundreds of local and independent makers. And don't forget the cards. Here, let me tell you, the cards for any occasion are truly special. At Nest, you're going to find all the details that make a house your home, including some of the best ornaments around. So visit City Bird and Nest today and make new memories, not just by buying gifts, but enjoying our city while you do it. They're located in Detroit on West Canfield between Cass and 2nd Avenues in Midtown, or online at citybirddetroit.com. That's citybirddetroit.com. Welcome to your Daily Detroit. It is Tuesday, December 16th, 2025. I'm Jer Stays. Joining me at the studio at Tech Town is a recurring guest, someone who's been here before, but it's been a while, Glenn Stevens, the executive director of Mish Auto at the Detroit Regional Chamber. There is a new State of Automobility report, which has some really interesting findings and some things I think we want to talk about that impact the city, the region, and the state. Glenn, welcome back to Daily Detroit. It has been a minute.
It is a pleasure to be here, Jer. Thanks for having me on.
Well, and thanks for all the things that you've been doing in so many ways over the years. I know we didn't get a chance to catch up at the last Mackinac Policy Conference. But if people don't know, you've got your hands in a lot of different things. You're always passionate from every corner of this state about stuff. It's fascinating to me, like one day you'll be in downtown Detroit, and then I'll see you post from like somewhere in the UP, like maybe riding a reindeer, I'm not sure, but it is impressive. Before we get into all of this stuff, why do you think it's so important to take such like a holistic view of as you do around so many of the issues, and especially around the automotive sector, which is the real thrust behind Mish Auto?
Well, there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, I'm from the UP, and so to get to the UP, you go through a lot of corners of the state. But I grew up with a deep appreciation for both the north of our state and also the city of Detroit and other regions. My dad's from Detroit, but we grew up in Marquette. And so we have industry everywhere. We have tourism and travel everywhere. We have talent development everywhere with our education institutions. And frankly, I just think it's a beautiful state. So both from an economic development standpoint, a talent development, and a placemaking and just scenic and tour is industry, I love this place, and I love to explore it, and I love to meet the people of it.
Well, in reality, it's all very interconnected, right?
It's all interconnected. That's a great point. When you look at talent development, and at the end of the day, it's about the people you have that want to live in communities, want to work in companies, or start businesses. They want to live in strong communities that have strong culture, that have good schools, that have good infrastructure. Now, broadband is really important in every corner of the state. So when you look at the auto industry or the agriculture industry or the life sciences industry, it's all tied to travel and tourism and placemaking. And it's proven that people do wind up living where they visit very often. And over the course of time, most people stay close to where they're living if you give them a reason to, where they grew up.
Yeah. Well, this report, the big headline that you see when you open up the first page is Innovate or Be Left Behind. Michigan needs a cohesive strategy to maintain its leadership. And this is in reference to automotive and mobility industries. You know, we are still, I think, the center of so much with the auto industry. I think if I look further in the report, we're still number one in a lot of ways, right? But there are real challenges ahead and things that we need to pay attention to now, or we're going to have some real challenges ahead, aren't we?
Right. So we've been doing this report since 2013. Every year we do this, we're always highlighting the data. We're always highlighting the assets. And the fact is we are number one in many categories. You will not find an ecosystem globally, even to this day, as far as you look at all the different markets that autos are built and sold and designed and engineered, we're still very unique and we are leading. But we can't take it for granted and we can't assume that we're always going to have that position. We have to work And as we say here, we have to innovate so we're not left behind. And today's competitive forces are like unlike anything we've ever seen with regards to the industry. That's the technology changes, the policy changes, China. The Chinese industry didn't exist like it did today, not that long ago. So all these forces come at us, and we have to make sure that we're adapting. You know, there's a lot of cliches to drop, but if you don't adapt and innovate, you are going to get left behind. And we're calling to action that we have to do more, and we have to focus more on this industry. And really, from an economic development, a talent development, an education development, we have to do all those things for all our industries.
Going through this report, what are some of the key areas you think that we need to address in kind of language that anyone, even if you're not necessarily directly invested in the auto industry, what are key things that we need to be focusing on right now?
Let's start with the base things that the state needs to address, and they're called out in other reports too. BLM, Business Leader for Michigan, just put their report out again, and we keep calling for the same things. We need better K through 12 education. We need more affordable housing. We need transit. I mean, I'm not saying anything novel there. That's stuff we've been talking about, but we're not moving the needle. And when you talk to an automotive exec, which I did last Monday, I sat in the office of a major global CEO, and those issues were what he talked about. He talked about affordable housing. So those are applicable to any industry. So that's the base level requirements that our companies need to grow here. But then you look specifically at the technology and the industry that we're talking about, the auto industry. When we look at the proliferation of Industry 4.0, which is machine learning and AI in our factories or on our vehicles, we better be ready to innovate fast because everyone else, including China, is doing that. So we need the right digital talent. So preparing our people for the jobs of the future and today is also really important. And that's really what it boils down to. It's not that complicated.
When you talk about digital talent, what does that mean? Because one of the challenges I've heard from some listeners is, or worries, I should say, is this idea that we need to make sure that the kind of work that we're doing in Michigan, of course, it's important to build the things and put things together and whatever. But the highest value work, the design, the software, things like that, it's really important to be here. And although it's not the highest in raw numbers, a lot of that work seems to be starting to drift out of the state. And that's a worry.
Some of it has, but let's look at the automotive industry and let's look at the human capital supply chain. So you have entry level workforce that works in our factories. That factory is going to become more and more automated every day. Mm. And every new factory that's built is going to have more robots. But you know what? Somebody needs to design, engineer, build, repair, and maintain the robots. Those are good jobs. Then you have the second level, which is skilled trades. It sounds like I'm a broken record because we've been saying this. We have an incredible shortage of skilled trades across all industries, from people working in automation in the factories to electricians to welders. We still don't have enough. And then you talk about that high-end talent because everything's software-defined and everything is connected now. So that digital interface, that's all really proliferating everywhere, and we need that talent. And we do generate a lot of that talent, but we lose a lot of it, and that's important for us. And we have to build that ecosystem where it's not just automotive, it's other industries. You look at Silicon Valley or Austin or Research Triangle Park or Boston, there are multiple industries where that talent is moving around. We have to have that ecosystem here too.
So it's in the interest of the automotive industry to diversify,
yes,
is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up because how many times have we heard, and it's something that always kind of bothers me, is you hear that expression, we need to diversify away from automotive. No, we need to use the automotive industry as a platform for diversification. Because if you look at all these technologies that are proliferating, we're already doing them. So why can't we develop more startups in these different types of spaces, whether it's machine learning or data analytics or AI companies or cybersecurity companies? That can all happen here, and they're happening in the auto industry. Let's use the auto industry as a solid base and a platform to diversify and start more companies.
So what's at the root that you're seeing of that talent when they're not making the choice to stay or they're not making the choice for Michigan? Like, what's the root that you've identified in this work?
I think it's two things. I think, first of all, it's perception. And the second thing, it's the reality of what is the place that you're trying to attract people or keep people. So let's talk about the perception. So we need our young people or people who are looking at the industry to know and understand that the vehicle or the factory is some of the most high-tech products you'll ever work with. And so that's showing them that the auto industry, a GM, is a high-tech company. That perception is a gap that we need to continue to close. But at the end of the day, whether you're going to retain somebody who grew up here and went to Grand Valley State or Wayne State, you got to give them a reason to live here. Why do people live? Strong schools, strong infrastructure, including broadband, strong communities with culture, transit. That's the recipe.
Okay, so there's going to be some people who listen to this, and they're going to be like, we're talking about autos. Why does transit matter?
Everyone doesn't drive a car. And in the ride sharing, in the shared use economy, that's why Waymo coming here is so important, right?
And I personally think people seeing Waymo on the streets of Metro Detroit is going to like shake a few people.
That's a really good thing. In fact, they've been here before, and they used to build a lot of their vehicles here. They do a lot of that retrofitting in Arizona now. But the fact of the matter is that you have to have transit solutions for people who have different needs. And we cannot be a one-dimensional. There's going to be plenty of room for automobiles, trucks, and vehicles in our world, particularly in a country as big as ours, particularly in a place where people like to drive. But everybody can't afford them. And there is an affordability issue. The average vehicle price is now over $50,000. We need to have a healthy auto industry, but we need to make sure that we're developing other mobility solutions at the same time. It's absolutely yes, and it's not one size fits all, and we have to provide. You know, everywhere I go in Michigan, you know, I travel around a little bit. I always look at the local transit, you know, the micro transit buses that take people from maybe the senior home or the assisted living or somebody just maybe is challenged and can't drive. And I always ask, how often do those buses run and where do they run to? And in most communities, they don't run 24 hours a day and they don't go to the places, but at least they're there. We have to have more solutions like that.
It sounds like you're making an argument for investing in ourselves, which historically I can speak more to Metro Detroit than I can anywhere else. It seems to me that oftentimes we make decisions that are focused on like the cheapest solution or what's the bare minimum versus what's going to take us to the next level, investing in ourselves. It feels like a different view of infrastructure.
I absolutely believe that. If you look at the auto industry, we've been doing it for 120 years. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our culture. It helped us build this state. But that industry is changing so quickly in the competitive forces. So we have to look at what's going to grow Michigan. And we have not grown. Real household median average income is not growing. Our education system, the metrics are not moving. I remember John Rakolta said something a couple of years ago when they were put the education commission together. He said, is our hair on fire yet? And that's kind of how we need to look at it, because we are at a critical point in the history of this state right now.
What are some of the things that we need to look at and tie into this report as far as like action items? Because it's great to identify the problem, but what do we do now?
Let's look at the industry that we have. We have 25 OEMs, the vehicles that design, engineer, and build here. Most people know that Ford and GM and Stellantis are here, but also Toyota's here. But there are about 20 other companies that have research. Isuzu's here. Honda's even got a small office here. Hyundai's here. We have to keep feeding those companies with the talent they need to grow here. Lucid, Scout, and this new company that's popped up, Slate, those companies are here because the engineering, mechanical, and electrical firepower is here. We need to keep feeding that. We need more of it, though. Let's attract more research and development here. So that's key. And then we need to make sure that we can compete with the automated factories that are going to be put in place. More and more automation, that means we need more skilled trades. So it really does come around to having the right pathways for our young people and people who want to come here into the careers that are in demand. That's really critical. But we also have to have policy that enables businesses, doesn't drive it away, keeps it here. And really that means consistent policy. You know, perfect example is our flip-flopping on right to work. We go back and forth with that. That's an extreme example, but other states don't do that. We have to have consistent policy.
That echoes a conversation that we had on the show with somebody who's been involved in the entrepreneurial community for a long time. It's sometimes not as much like which lane you pick, but the fact that you're flipping and flopping over and over again, creating inconsistency, because some people have really strong opinions, say, on that idea.
They do.
Or others. But when you're continually switching course, it makes it difficult for people who are investing or people who are making decisions about their personal lives on what they're going to do.
Yeah, and if you look at the auto industry itself, it's a highly capital intensive, long lead time business, extremely complex. I mean, when you add up all the components, it's 30,000 different components in a vehicle. So everything requires a long, complex amount of planning. And if you flip-flop policy, we've seen a lot of that this year with the trade policy, it's really difficult for companies to plan. So we need to give businesses consistent, forward-thinking policy, and we need to build, and this goes back to the talent thing, you've got to give people a reason to want to live in communities. And that's those are all the base level things that we talk about and you talk about on your show all the time.
Well, and I hear it from listeners. I know people personally that listen to this show or people I know in my personal life that lost their jobs due to the trade policy.
Yeah, it's been
it's tough.
It's been a tough year, and we're certainly not through it because we're in the middle of renegotiating the USMCA trade agreement right now. And we don't know how it's going to shake out. But I think it's pretty safe to say that trade is going to continue to be reshaped. And so now we have to look at what does Michigan need, particularly with our signature industry. And that leads us into what we're really driving here with the report and the call to action is in 2026, we're going to be working on a policy roadmap with listening sessions around the state, talking to the industry, talking to education, talking to labor, talking to economic development. So when the new governor takes office at the end of next year and the transition team goes in place, new legislature and different people in different offices, the auto industry can be right at the forefront saying, this industry got us here and it can be part of our solution to grow this state. This is what we need.
We also need to have some conversations, I think, around education. Because you're talking about these factories and the more complexity and things like that. There's a feeling among some that I've talked to over the years that the auto industry is someplace, you know, that they don't really consider. Or they don't know if it's a fit for them, or they think about, you know, uncles or grandparents that work. And they have a very different view of what automotive work is today, right? A lot of automotive work today, it's more technical. It's more technical.
Every job is more technical. Every job has more of a digital interface, whether it's with the robots in the factories all the way to the cloud. And you mentioned it. So I don't want to beat the we need better education systems horse too much. Everybody's doing that, but we do. This is where I feel really strongly. We have to do a better job with pathways. And I'll give you some stats which continue to alarm me, and I'm going to keep talking about them. You and I, when we went to high school, we probably knew our counselor. I hope you knew yours. I knew mine, right? In Michigan, we're 49th in the country on the ratio of students to counselors. The average in the country is 450 students to one. The recommendation is 250 students to one counselor. We're at almost 600 in Michigan. That's our average. How is that acceptable? And we wonder why we have low workforce participation and low educational attainment. We're not helping people find the right pathways.
It's wild to me. There's a statistic that really sticks out to me that less than 60% of Michigan high school students enroll in post-high school education, which is wild to me. Like, it's wild.
And that is the crux of the problem. You need more knowledge workers to have more knowledge jobs. You need to attract companies here to that. You know, case in point was when a company called KLA opened up in Ann Arbor. They were looking for knowledge-based jobs. They came to Michigan because of that. We're going to see more and more of that. We have low labor force participation. We have lower than average educational attainment. We got to fix those things. You can't grow as a state. People can't better their lives unless we fix those issues.
Well, and we need to look and see that we do have a challenge, right? Like, I think that's one thing too, is to just admit that there's things that we need to work on. I think a lot of people get squirrely when we talk about that.
They do, which again is why I feel really strongly that next year's election is so pivotal. And it's not just the governor's race. It's the House, it's the Senate, Secretary of State, all these different offices, including some of our federal changes. We've got to make sure we're making decisions for people who can drive change in this economy and the things we're talking about with regards to education. I don't want to be sitting here, 5 years talking to you, Jer, about, the BLM report came out again and we're not where we need to be.
The show is 8 years old now, right? More than 1,800 episodes. And I feel like we've already kind of had a little bit of a groundhog day with some of that stuff.
We absolutely have. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is forging forward. Ohio is forging forward. Indiana is forging forward. And we're not. So let's get going. And I can tell you, China's expanding all over the world with their automotive industry, and that's the competition for our companies.
You mentioned China. One thing that China's really big in is electric vehicles and EVs.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have an honest conversation about it, because I think a lot of people are skeptical of EVs. They're not sure where it fits into things. But you all call out electrification in the report in a major way. So despite the policy changes, despite whatever, you still see electrification as very important as a place that we need to work around and work in. Can you expand on it a little bit more? And what are some of the opportunities?
The market and the consumer are going to eventually determine what gets purchased. But EVs are proliferating around the world, and they are growing in our country. We have to stop politicizing EVs. That's one thing. And that they are highly politicized.
That is
but
for
it is,
sure.
It's a technology that people want. It's a less complex vehicle. Its maintenance costs are less. It is more environmentally friendly. They're fun to drive.
Well, that's the thing for me. I've test driven a number of electric vehicles. I know people who have them. In general, the driving experience itself is just better.
It is. And people want them. Now, we have a long way to go, but we're going to have internal combustion engines for a long time, but we're going to have a proliferation of hybrids, and we're going to have more and more EVs. And we have to make sure that we lead in the technology development and the control of the supply chain, because right now we're beholden to other countries, particularly China, when it comes to that. But they're going to grow. And as the younger demographics come into the buying public, I really believe that they're going to want more EVs. So we need to be ready for it. That's a really fine balancing act. And a hard balancing act for our kind of our hometown teams, but they know it. And so they're going to balance that act. There's been a pullback, no question about it. It's been a really difficult couple of years. Incentives have been pulled and things like that, but they will continue to be part of the market.
So looking at all of this, what do you want people to do? If somebody's listening to this episode and they're like, okay, great, I hear what you're saying. What do I do next? Or how do I contribute? Or how do I advocate for these things? Or if they have questions about like where this path is going, let's say they own a business, let's say, you know, that all that kind of stuff. How does everyone else get involved in this conversation?
I break it apart a little bit. If you're listening to this and you're in the auto industry, you know, reach out to me at gstevens@mishauto.org, because this roadmap we're building for the state, for our signature industry, we need all voices in it. And we're going to lead that. We're going to have other companies working with us. If you're a young person who's looking at their career path, find some help with that too. And if you're a politician and you're a leader, we got to address these things and fix these things. But I think ultimately what I would say is, again, it's a pivotal election year. Get engaged, get involved, and really become informed about how making the right decision for our next leaders in this state.
Well, Glenn Stevens, the executive director of Mish Auto at the Detroit Regional Chamber, thank you so much for stopping by. I'm going to put a link to everything in the show notes so you can check this all out yourself. And don't be a stranger.
Hey, Jer, thanks for your time today. I always enjoy talking and appreciate your passion and commitment to the city and the region and the state.
Thanks to our members on Patreon, patreon.com/DailyDetroit. If you haven't gotten around to it, becoming a member is a great thing. You'll get some swag. You'll get access to our member-only Discord, our private podcast, Off the Record, Off the Rails, and a whole lot more. Our members are what make this happen. We do occasionally get sponsorship, but it's our members that pay most of the way and are the backbone of what allow us to do this work. So stop on by to patreon.com/DailyDetroit. All right, I'm Jer Stays. Remember that you are somebody, and I'll catch you tomorrow on another edition of Your Daily Detroit. Take care.